If you will, to the book of Revelation, chapter number 2. Revelation,
chapter number 2. Revelation, chapter number 2. We'll start reading in verse number 1 of the book of Revelation, chapter number 2. If you're in Revelation, chapter 2, say it. Bible says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he
was a separated church. They didn't yoke up with the world. They didn't make friends with that crowd. He said, start despising the sin. When you come to the place that you become sick at your stomach, when you see that sin and what sin and wickedness is doing to good people, when you get tired and sick and tired of seeing sin ruin lives and wreck families and destroy marriages, I'm saying we need to learn and come to the place where we hate the sin. We start despising the sin, we're on our way to living a separated life. There is a holy hatred. He said, I know how thou canst not bear them which are evil. In other words, this church hasn't allowed filth and carnality to infiltrate its church or its people. They were separated. Notice the second thing quickly about this church. Not only was it a separated church, it was a spirit-led church. Look again here at verse number 2. He says, thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. They didn't take it lightly to those who claim to be teachers of the Word of God, yet they're teaching a heresy. And John warned this church in Ephesus, in 1 John, to try the spirits to see if they be of God. And the Bible tells us, yeah, that's just what they had done. Oh, they were a separated church. They were a spirit-led church. They were a steadfast church. Look at verse number 3. He says, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, watch this phrase, and hast not. Listen, friend, this wasn't a church that was throwing in the towel. This wasn't a church that was quitting. This wasn't a church that had just said, well, we're done, we're fixing to close the doors. Oh, no, they kept on going year after year despite their growth, despite their progress. And while they may not have been fruitful, they were faithful. And God commended their faithfulness. This was a good church. This was not some wicked church. Listen, don't you understand? This was not a carnal church. This was not a heretical church that had strayed from right doctrine and from right teaching. I want you to understand, this church, these were good people, and they were doing some good things. They had just forgotten the main thing. That is to love the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart, all their soul, all their mind. I believe, and I'm going to say I know, Crossroads Baptist Church is a wonderful church. Listen, thank God for what the Lord is doing here and what the Lord has done, and we know what He's going to even do even more. But listen, despite our accomplishments, despite our achievements, despite any accolades, should God look down from heaven and have for me or have for you or have for Crossroads Baptist Church, we need to understand this morning that there's no greater thing that we could ever do than to love the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind. Nothing more, nothing better. The Bible tells us very clearly, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind. This church had done many good things, but they had missed the greatest thing, to love the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart. And friend, listen to me this morning. If we miss that, the rest of it doesn't matter. What good is it if we build buildings and we buy vans or buses? And what good is it if we start ministries and have movements and campaigns? And what good is any of that if you fill a building up full of a group of people that don't love God? I'm saying if we miss that, the rest of it doesn't matter. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 13, he says this, though I speak with the tongue of men and angels and have not charity, I'm become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. He goes on, he says this, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor and give my body to be burned and have not charity, love, it profiteth me nothing. Every single thing that has been done and that will be done in the existence of this church, understand, it amounts to absolutely zero if it doesn't involve our love. God says it's worth nothing. Can I say to you, you can be doing almost everything right and still get it critically wrong. We could, listen, it is possible to have a church that looks right and acts right and sounds right and still have something critically wrong. Can I say to you, it is possible as a Christian to mark off the chapters. It's possible as a Christian to be hitting all the bullet points. It's possible to be as the Pharisee standing up there, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like this other guy. I fast 3 times a day and I give my alms. And Lord, I thank you. It is possible to be doing everything right, but still get the main thing wrong. Sometimes I'm convicted about certain areas in my life, and maybe I've allowed my devotion to God to slip a little bit, or maybe it's my prayer life that isn't what it ought to be, or maybe my love for others is not what it ought to be. Maybe I'm not witnessing like I ought to be witnessing, and I want to fix those things, and I want to do better, and we begin to focus on other things of how we can do that, and trying to find a way, trying to find a plan. We talked about it Wednesday night. Listen, plans are necessary. Processes are necessary. All those things are very, very important, but what we need to understand while we focus on the plans and while we focus on those processes and the problems, we need to understand that it's going to take a passion and mainly a compassion if we're ever going to draw closer to the Lord. Those things are merely the symptom. But the problem is we need to rekindle our love for the Lord. The problem's not simply what I'm lacking. The problem's not how I'm living. But the problem is that I'm no longer loving. We find that there's a problem, a breakdown in some area of our Christian life. It's a direct result of a diminished love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Bible reading suffers. Our prayer life suffers. Our church attendance suffers. It's because of a diminished love for our Lord and Savior. Because can I tell you this? You have no problem talking about somebody you love. Brother Jim mentioned a moment ago before they sung that song about he hopes that this is my story. This is my, if they ask me something, I'm going to talk about Jesus. Listen to me. You have no problem talking about somebody you love. Oh, witnessing to others. Listen to me. You think of grandparents. They come and start, and you ask them anything about that grandchild, buddy, you're fixing to get an earful. Yeah. Oh, yes. You have no problem. Let me tell you something. The problem is not our lack of witnessing. The problem is our lack of love for the Lord. Because you have no problem talking about someone that you love. You think on. You have no problem talking to someone that you love. The problem is not prayer. The problem is our lack of love. Oh, you want to talk to somebody you love. You think even further. The problem is not hearing somebody talk to you that you love. How does God speak to us? He speaks to us in His Word. Oh, listen, with somebody you love, boy, you want to talk to them. You want to hear what they have to say. You want to know what's on their heart. You want to know what's on their mind. You want to know what makes them tick. You want to know all the things about them. We need to rekindle our love for the Lord. I want to give you 3 things quickly this morning on steps to rekindling our love. There are 3 calls we have here. Calling us back to God, drawing us nearer to God, back in loving fellowship with Him. Number 1, there's a call to remember. There's a call to remember. Notice with me verse number 5 again. Remember, he says in verse 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Then in verse 5, here's the way back. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Remember. Number 1, we need to remember the pit. You want to fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ again? We need to remember the pit that God drug us out of. Oh yes, listen to me. Sometimes we don't like to admit it, but let's just be honest for a moment this morning. Every one of us know the mess we were in before we met God. Every one of us, well, you listen, I know sometimes we think God really got something when he got us, but let's be honest, what he got is a dirty, rotten, filthy sinner, and if I got what I deserved, we'd split hell wide open. I'm saying this morning we need to remember that pit that he drug us out of, that pit of sin, that pit of a life of nothing, that pit of debauchery, that pit of devastation, that pit of pain. Oh, we need to remember the pit that God brought us up out of. Set our feet on that solid rock, established our going, put a new song in our mouth. Remember the pit that God drug you out of. We'll be honest this morning, the only difference between us and that drunkard is the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you look down your nose and think, boy, look at them. But by the grace of God, that's not me. And that's not, the only difference between us and that dope addict, us and that harlot, us and that lost person, the only difference is the Lord Jesus Christ and his goodness to us. The only difference, Father, this morning in that deadbeat dad in you is the Lord Jesus Christ. The only difference in that strung out mother than you is the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that we're not still capable of those things. But thank God when we love him and follow him, he keeps us from those things. We'll do it his way. Remember your life before you met Christ. Every single thing you have is because of God. Every good thing in your life is because of God. Just think of how different your life would be today if you'd have never met him. Oh, listen. I look around sometimes and at other people's lives, and I want to say to you, people are messed up. People's lives are messed. I look around at the pain and the agony. You look around at the dysfunction and the drama and the destruction and the devastation. And then I begin to look at the life that the Lord's given me. I understand. It's nothing but the good grace of God. It's all because of him. I begin to think about and look at people who have followed their way and their will and done it and had it their way, and they're having it their way. And then I think about how good God's been to me. Oh, listen, you want to get back to God? You want to draw closer to him? You want to get that love back? You want to kindle the flame? You want to stir the fire? Remember the pit that God brought you out of. Secondly, I got to hurry. Remember the passion. He says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. Don't you just love to see somebody who's in love? I mean, man, you can't keep them apart. They're all over each other and they're always together. You see one, you see the other. Miles won't keep them apart. Money can't keep them apart. Men can't keep them apart. They're going to be together no matter what. People will figure out to be around and be with the person that they love. That's why I've always said, and I still say it, and I still believe it, people that want to be at church are at church. Because you can't, hey, listen, you can't keep people away from somebody they love. That's right. I remember when I was a teenager, and most of you know, my wife and I met at the skate rink just up on the hill. And we were young, man, we were young. And I was going to go to the skating that night, and I was having the all-night skate even. I don't recommend that, by the way, but that's what we did. It was. And so anyway, so I went, and I was helping a man. I was young. I was like 12, 13, probably 13 maybe years old, and roof a house. And I'd never done much roofing. I'd always worked. I've always been a worker. But I went out there with these guys, and I'd carried some shingles before, but I'm on the roof now. And I'm tearing these things off. Man, it's 135 degrees. I mean, just the hottest day I ever experienced up on the roof. And most people, they'll start about 5 in the morning. We start at 5 in the morning. But we didn't quit till 5 in the evening. They'll quit usually about 11 or 12 when it gets hot. These guys didn't. And I ate. And so, man, I'm sicker than a dog. I'm talking about I'd been up on that roof all day. I was sore. I was hot. I was hurting. You know what I did? I went to skating rink. Hey, friend, you're going to be with the people you love. You're going to be around you want to be around somebody, you're going to be around them. Went there and stayed all night. I can still remember the passion after having just been saved as a young boy. 7-year-old boy, I gave my life and heart to the Lord. I remember the passion to be at church. I remember the passion to go soul winning. I was on bus ministry even back then as a young boy. I remember the passion for Awanas is what it was then, and the nursing home ministry that we were involved in, and all those things, and that was my life. I was a victim of circumstance. My mom and dad were divorced, and we stopped going to church. We were pulled out of church for a while, and over time, I began to get cold on God. Over time, other things began to arrest my attention and get a hold of my attention. My wife and I, just after being married, knowing already that we wanted to serve the Lord, we wanted to raise our family in the house of the Lord began to work on me about my relationship with Him and about how I'd grown cold on Him. And, of course, we found a good Bible-believing local New Testament church and got in and got involved and recommitted my life to the Lord. We've never looked back. But listen to me. We got busy and with business, and most of you know the story, and we're doing business, doing tons of ministry. But we're going through the motions. Finally, at the age of 30, once again, got a hold of my heart. The Lord did. And my desire became solely to honor Him with my life. To just live with Him, close to Him, surrender to Him every day. Surrendered to full-time ministry, surrendered to preach. And oh, how I remember those special days as a young preacher. Oh, how I remember I was helping a man out run some appointments and insurance, and I remember I didn't care if anybody's home or not, because when they wasn't home, that gave me another hour or two to sit in my car and read my Bible and take down notes, and I'm fixing to be able to have the opportunity to preach. And how can I remember those sweet nights of fellowship in His Word, in the Word of God, and we'd get the peanut butter crackers out and get the sweet tea. Praise God, if you can't have revival right there, it's not possible. Those nights just late. Word of God. By the way, we still have some of those. Just sit there for hours and bask in His glory. Doesn't matter how late it is. Doesn't matter how tired you are. Didn't matter how broke I was back then, whether I had anything else in this world. As long as you had Jesus in your life. You remember those days? Remember the passion. God, help us to never lose that. Listen to me. You remember when the Lord was everything, truly. You couldn't wait. It wasn't you was coming to get out, you was coming to get in. Yeah. You couldn't wait to come to church. Couldn't wait for the man of God to get up and open the Word of God and let the Holy... You wanted the Holy Ghost to unload on you what the Holy Ghost had unloaded on Him earlier in that week. I'm talking about the passion. I missed that. We traded it all for programs. We've traded it all for processes. We got to go back and remember the passion. One third thing quickly. Remember the preciousness. Think of the people we love most in our life. Think of how easy it is to get used to their presence in our life. You're going to take them for granted, and before you know it, we don't think very often. They're around and we take their presence for granted. This is something every husband and wife who's been married 20 years, 30 years, 40 years has to fight. And sometimes we fail to realize how blessed we are to have those folks in our life because we take them for granted. Friend, can I tell you something? I have many friends, people I would call friends. But upon this earth, my greatest friend is my wife. And I thank the Lord for it. I'm happy to have her, lucky to have her. She's seen me at my best, and she's seen me at my worst. She loved me through it all. What about the Lord? We sing, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our griefs and sins He bears, however it goes. What a great friend He is. But we take Him for granted too often times, don't we? We go back and we think about, man, those times of heartache, those times of pain, those times of misery, those times where God made a way when there was no way, all the times He's delivered us, all the times He's answered us, all the times He's been there for us. But we treat Him like a spare tire. So we need to remember the preciousness. We cope with losing that person that we love. I don't see how people do it without the Lord. It's a call to remember. Secondly, quickly, there's a call to repent. Notice verse number 5. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, watch this, and repent. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this. You know what repentance is? It's a change of mind. We need to change our mind about how we've been treating the Lord Jesus. We need to figure out what it is that's turned our hearts away from Him, figured out what's become more important than Him, and we need to find out what's been pulling us away from Him and keeping us from continuing to long for Him and being led by Him. The Ephesians had started off well, but they got off course. They left their first love and continued on serving the Lord in their flesh. And God said, you need to get back to serving me out of love. You need to get back to doing it out of love. Can I say this? There are people sitting in fundamental Baptist churches all over this great nation this morning who still serve God, who still sacrifice for God, who still labor for God, who are seated in the place they're in there for God, but they're no longer doing it out of love. They're no longer doing it out of a devotion for God. They're simply doing it out of duty. You'll never have a closeness with the Lord. Simply doing it out of duty. Too many today are serving God at the command of the preacher instead of out of compassion for Christ. And I'm simply saying we need to repent. We need to turn back. We need to serve God out of a heart that's overflowing in love. Our ministry ought to be motivated by love. I think of the Apostle Paul. He said, Paul, what is it that keeps you going? You'll remember Paul gives the whole gamut of lists. He talks about the shipwrecks and the beatings and the scourgings and all these things he goes through, and he says this, and none of these things move me. Paul, what keeps you going? Oh, later on, Paul said this, the love of Christ constraineth us. Yes, the love of Christ constraineth us. That's what keeps me going, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. If God loved me enough to die for me, surely I ought to love him enough to serve him. The love of Christ constraineth us. Thirdly, it's a call to remember. It's a call to repent. It's a call to repeat. Look with me at verse number 5 again. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, watch this, and do the first works. We said that repentance is a change of mind. True repentance is a change of mind that results in a change of action. In Acts chapter number 26, verse 20, the Bible says, but showed first unto them of Damascus, and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, and do works meet for repentance. God says the way back to rekindle our love for the Lord is do the first works. What's that mean? Go back to the basics. You see, we complicate things so much in everything we do, especially in our Christian life. We're looking for some new gig, some new way, some new thing. Take me to a higher plane. So I got to bring the new music. I got to have the new Bibles. Got to have whatever it is. God says just go back to the beginning. Go back to the basics. I had the opportunity to counsel folks sometime, even marriage counsel. And they're having issues. And we get real deep sometimes. She feels neglected, he feels neglected. Sometimes you got to get real deep. It's real hard, you know what I'm telling you? How did you treat her when you got married? How'd you treat him before you got married? It's the same way with the Lord. We got to go back to the first works. What is that? Bible reading. Oh, listen, spending time with God. The first things we did, then when you fell in love with Jesus, these are things that we never grow beyond. There are certain things you never grow beyond with your spouse. You never stop dating them. You never stop desiring them. Those kinds of things. God said repent and do the first works. What are they? Well, His Word. Remember how you spend time in His Word? I hope there was a time you did. You was hungry for the Word. You came to hear the Word of God. Remember how you used to pray? Remember the joy in getting together with other Christians? Oh, remember how excited you were to tell others about Jesus? I'm going to tell you the greatest evidence of salvation. Listen to me. The greatest evidence that you've been saved. Everybody's not going to be a D.L. Moody, win a million souls to Christ, whatever it was. But the greatest evidence that you're saved when you get saved is that you want to tell somebody else. You want them to get saved. I remember several of my boys, and they'd get saved. Man, they're younger brother. They're witnessing to them. They're on them. That's the greatest evidence of you being saved. You think of that woman at the well. Boy, what a sinner! And she said, "Yeah, you're right. The man you live with, he's not your husband. You're shacking up." She wanted some of that living water, and she trusted the Lord. And the Bible says she came and she went to every man and said, "Come see a man that told me all that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" She immediately had to go tell others. Remember how excited you used to be about telling others. You know, can I say to you, Satan has done a masterful job in creating a sense of dissatisfaction with these first works. Listen to me, I'm talking about every church needs to hear what I just said. Satan has done a wonderful job creating a distaste, a dissatisfaction with the first works. Just the basics. Christians will run to almost everything and any new thing, program or thing or growth for growth or stability. Our shortened attention span that we have now, we're so easily bored with the truest excitement, and sometimes we'll do almost anything except the first works. Lord, let me go to another meeting. Let me get involved in another ministry. Let me give an amount of money, and we'll do everything and anything except do the first works. I said to you last week, there's no shortcuts. Got to go back to the basics. By the way, notice the Bible says, left, not lost, their first love. Look at it again. Verse number 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast, watch the word, circle it, left thy first love. You see, friend, leaving is deliberate. Lost is an accident. When you leave something, you meant to leave it. You did it on purpose. In other words, when you lose something, you don't know where to find it when you lose something. But when you leave something, you know exactly where it's at. Now, when I leave something, I lose something because my wife moves it. But typically, when you leave something, you know where it's at. You know where to find it. We know where to find it. The first words. Preacher, tell me something new. Give me a new flavor of Christianity. And just like the person that gets restless in their marriage after 20 or 30 years because they've neglected their relationship with their spouse and they become bored and begin to look for something new or someone new, something to bring excitement again. And oftentimes when we've neglected our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we become bored with the first works of just coming to church, bored with the first works of just reading our Bible, bored with the first works of prayer, bored with the first works of fellowship with God's people and all those things. Listen to me, when it used to be everything, when it used to be our passion, when it used to be our desire. I'm going to lay something real heavy on you, okay? So listen real close. The way to cultivate a desire to read your Bible is to read your Bible. The way to cultivate a desire for prayer. The way to cultivate a desire to come to church and be around God's people is to come to church and be around God's people. Because listen to me, friend. We got to have those things before we're going to have the desire. God gives us the desire through those things. And what we need, if these things are going to be exciting to us again, if Bible reading is going to be exciting again, if prayer is going to be exciting again, spending time with Jesus is going to become our passion again, then we've got to do them with the same commitment. We've got to do them with the same interest. We've got to do them with the same fervor that we did when we first got saved. We have to do them, friend, listen to me, out of a heart that desires more than anything else to talk to Jesus, to hear from Jesus, to grow closer to Jesus. We got to do them out of a heart that loves Jesus. What we do for the Lord, we've got to do because we love the Lord Jesus Christ with all our heart. It must come from a heart that says, oh God, draw me nearer, 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 precious Lord. You'll never love God without being close to Him, without spending time with Him. Now watch this. And you'll never spend time with Him without loving Him. I'm going to say it again. That needs to hit somebody. You'll never grow closer to God without spending time with Him. You'll never begin to love God more without spending time with Him. Relationships are built on spending time with Him. You'll never grow closer to Him or love Him more without spending time with Him. But then watch this. You'll never spend time with Him without growing to love Him. Oh, listen to me, friend. From experience, you can't spend time with the loveless Son of God with... You can't be in His presence. You can't be around Him. You can't spend time with Him without loving Him, desiring Him, wanting Him, longing for Him. The more you're around Him, boy, it doesn't take long. I like this guy. The more you're around Him, the more you want to be around Him. I read about a man who was determined to win the affection of a lady. She has refused to talk to him anymore. She shut off all communication. So the man, he really wanted to, determined to win her heart, win her affection. He wanted things to be like they used to be. And so he began to write her love letters. In fact, this man, he wrote a letter every single day to this lady, 7 times a week. She got a letter from him every day. When she didn't respond, he increased his letters to 3 letters a day. 1 24-hour period, she'd get 3 letters. In fact, the man wrote 700 plus letters to this one lady. You don't know what happened? She wound up marrying the mailman. Let me tell you something. If you want to grow in your relationship with the Lord, you're going to spend time with Him. The mailman's the one that had the time. While we stand for prayer this morning, let me tell you something. If you want to draw near to God, it's going to take more than a process.